This is Audible.
The Miracle Morning. The not-so-obvious secret guaranteed to transform your life before 8 a.m. Written by Hal Elrod. Narrated by Rob Actis. A note to you. No matter where you are in your life right now, whether you're currently succeeding at the highest level you've ever imagined, or you're struggling to find your way, there is at least one thing I know we have in common. Probably a lot more than one, but one that I know for sure. We want to improve our lives and ourselves. This is not to suggest that there is anything wrong with us or our lives. But as human beings, we were born with the innate desire and drive to continuously grow and improve. I believe it's within all of us. Yet, most of us wake up every day and life pretty much stays the same. As an author, keynote speaker, and success coach, my life's work is to teach people how to fulfill the unlimited potential that is within each of us. As a dedicated student of human potential and personal development, I can say with absolute certainty that the Miracle Morning is the most practical, results-oriented, and life-transforming method I have ever encountered for improving every aspect of your life. For high achievers, the Miracle Morning is a total game changer, allowing you to attain that elusive next level and take your personal and professional success far beyond what you've achieved in the past. While this can include increasing your income, growing your business, sales, or revenue, it's often more about discovering new ways to experience deeper levels of fulfillment and balance in areas of your life that you may have neglected. This can mean making significant improvements with your health, happiness, relationships, finances, spirituality, or any other areas that are at the top of your list. For those who are in the midst of adversity, and during times of struggle, be it mental, emotional, physical, financial, or relational, the Miracle Morning has proven time and time again to be the one thing that can empower anyone to overcome seemingly insurmountable challenges, make major breakthroughs, and turn their circumstances around, often in a very short period of time. Whether you want to make significant improvements in just a few key areas, or you are ready for a major overhaul which will radically transform your entire life so your current circumstances will soon become only a memory, you've picked up the right book. You are about to begin a miraculous journey using a revolutionary process that is guaranteed to transform any or every area of your life, all before 8 a.m. The Miracle Morning has already transformed the lives of thousands of people around the world, including my own, and it can absolutely be the catalyst to transform yours. I consider it a great honor to share this with you now, and I have done everything in my power to ensure that this book will truly be a life-changing investment of your time, energy, and attention. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life. A miraculous journey together is about to begin. With love and gratitude, always. Yo pal, Hal. Introduction. My story and why yours is the one that matters. December 3rd, 1999. Life was good. No, it was great. At 20 years old, my first year of college was behind me. I had spent the last 18 months becoming one of the top producing distributors for a $200 million marketing company, earning more money than I'd ever imagined I would at that age. I had a loving girlfriend, a supportive family, and the best friends a guy could ask for. I was truly blessed. You might say I was on top of the world. There was no way I could have known that this was the night my world would end. 11:32 p.m., driving 70 miles per hour, southbound, on Highway 99. we'd left the restaurant and our friends behind. It was just the two of us now. My girlfriend, tired from the evening's events, was dozing in the passenger seat. Not me. I was wide awake, eyes glued to the road in front, waving my finger in the air like a baton as I quietly conducted the melodies of Tchaikovsky. Still in a state of euphoria from the night's events, sleep was the furthest thing from my mind. Rocketing down the freeway at 70 miles per hour in my brand new white Ford Mustang, I was only 2 hours removed from giving the best speech of my life. I had received my first standing ovation, and I was elated. In fact, I desperately wanted to shout out my feelings of gratitude to anyone that would listen. But my girlfriend was asleep, so she was no use. I considered calling Mom and Dad, but it was late. They might already be in bed. Should have called. But I simply had no way of knowing that moment would be my last opportunity to speak to my parents, or anyone, for quite some time. An unimaginable reality. No, I don't recall seeing the headlights of a massive Chevrolet truck coming directly at me. In an instant of perverse fate, the full-size Chevy pickup, traveling at an estimated 80 miles per hour, smashed head-on into my undersized and undermatched Ford Mustang. The following seconds played out in slow motion, Tchaikovsky's commanding melodies orchestrating our wicked dance. The metal frames of our two vehicles collided, screaming and screeching as they twisted and broke. The Mustang's airbags exploded with enough force to render us unconscious. My brain, still traveling at 70 miles per hour, smashed into the front of my skull, destroying much of the vital brain tissue that made up my frontal lobe. Upon impact, the tail end of my Mustang was shoved into the lane on my right, making my driver's side door an unavoidable target for the car behind me. A Saturn sedan, driven by a 16-year-old, crashed into my door at 70 miles per hour. The door collapsed into the left side of my body. The frame of the metal roof caved in on my head, slicing open my skull and nearly severing my left ear. The bones of my left eye socket were crushed, leaving my left eyeball dangerously unsupported. My left arm broke, severing the radial nerve in my forearm and shattering my elbow, while my fractured humerus bone pierced the skin behind my bicep. My pelvis was given the impossible task of separating the Saturn's front end from my car's center console, and failed. It fractured in three separate places. Finally, my femur, the largest bone in the human body, snapped in half, and one end speared through the skin of my thigh and tore a hole in my black dress slacks. Blood was everywhere. My body was destroyed. My brain was permanently damaged. Unable to withstand the immense physical pain, my body shut down. My blood pressure dropped, and everything went black as I plunged into a coma. You only live twice. What happened next was nothing short of incredible, what many have called a miracle. The emergency rescue teams arrived, and using the jaws of life, firefighters cut my bloody body from the wreckage. When they did, I bled out. My heart stopped beating. I stopped breathing. Clinically, I was dead. The paramedics immediately put me on the rescue helicopter and worked determinedly to save my life. 6 minutes later, they succeeded. My heart started to beat again. I breathed clean oxygen. Thankfully, I was alive. I spent 6 days in a coma and woke to the news that I might never walk again. After 7 challenging weeks of recovery and rehabilitation in the hospital, learning to walk all over again, I was released to my parents' care, back into the real world. With 11 fractured bones, permanent brain damage, and a now ex-girlfriend who broke up with me in the hospital, life as I knew it would never be the same. Believe it or not, this would turn out to be a good thing. While coming to grips with my new reality wasn't easy, and at times I couldn't help but wonder, why did this happen to me I had to take responsibility for getting my life back. Instead of complaining about how things should be, I embraced how things were. I stopped putting energy into wishing my life were any different, into wishing bad things didn't happen to me, and instead focused 100% on making the best of what I had. Since I couldn't change the past, I focused on moving forward. I dedicated my life to fulfilling my potential and achieving my dreams, so I could discover how to empower others to do the same. And as a result of choosing to be genuinely grateful for all that I had, unconditionally accepting of all that I didn't, and accepting total responsibility for creating all that I wanted, this potentially devastating car accident ultimately became one of the best things that ever happened to me. Hinging on my belief that everything happens for a reason, but that it is our responsibility to choose the most empowering reasons for the challenges, events, and circumstances of our lives, I used my accident to fuel a triumphant comeback. 2000, a year that begins with me lying in a hospital bed, broken but not defeated, ends quite differently. Despite not having a car, even less of a short-term memory, equipped with every excuse in the world to sit at home and feel sorry for myself, I returned to my sales position at Cutco. I had the best year in my career and finished number 6 in the company, amongst over 60,000 active sales reps. All this while still recovering physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially from my wreck. 2001. Having learned some invaluable life lessons from my experience, it was time to turn my adversity into inspiration and empowerment for others. I started speaking and sharing my story at high schools and colleges. The responses from students and faculty were overwhelmingly positive, and I embarked on a mission to impact youth. 2002. My good friend, John Berghoff, encouraged me to write a book about my accident to further inspire others. So I started writing. As quickly as I started, I stopped. I'm no writer. Essays in high school were challenging enough, let alone a book. After repeated attempts that always ended with me staring at my computer screen, frustrated, it didn't look like a book was in the cards. I did, however, finish in Cutco's top 10 for the second year in a row. To try my hand at management, I accepted the position as sales manager for the Sacramento Cutco office. Our team went on to finish number 1 in the company and break the all-time annual record. That fall, I also reached my highest personal sales milestone and was inducted into the company's Hall of Fame, feeling that I'd accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish with Cutco. It was time to pursue my dream of becoming a professional keynote motivational speaker. I might even write that book that had been swimming around in my head the last couple of years. I also met Ursula. We were inseparable, and I had this feeling that she could be the one. February 2005. Sitting in the audience at what I intended to be my last Cutco conference, I came to a painful realization. I've never fulfilled my potential. Sure, I'd won some awards and broken a few records, but watching from my seat as the two top performers collect the highest annual award that Cutco offers, the coveted Rolex, I realized that I'd never fully committed. At least, not for an entire year. I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I left the company before fulfilling my potential. I had to give it one more year. But this time, I had to give it my all. 2005. Despite the late start to the year, I set a goal to nearly double my best sales year ever. I was terrified, but committed. I also concluded that I had an obligation to write that book and share my story with the world. I worked 365 days straight, selling and writing, with a level of discipline which eluded me the first 25 years of my life. I was fueled by passion to do what I'd never done before, to venture from my painfully comfortable realm of mediocrity, from which I operated my entire life, into the space of being extraordinary. By the year's end, I reached both of my goals, more than doubling my previous best sales year and completing my first book. It's official. Anything is possible when you are committed. Spring 2006. My first book, Taking Life Head On, How to Love the Life You Have While You Create the Life of Your Dreams, hit number 7 on the Amazon bestseller list. Then, the unthinkable happened. My publisher fled the country with 100% of my best-selling royalties and was never heard from again. My parents were devastated. I was not. If there's one thing that I've learned from my car accident, it's that there is no point in dwelling on or feeling bad about the aspects of our lives that we can't change. So I didn't. I've also learned that by focusing on what we can learn from our challenges and how we use them to add value to the lives of others, we can turn any adversity into an advantage. So I did. 2006. With almost zero knowledge of what the profession entails, I accidentally became a life and business success coach when a 40-something financial advisor asked me if I would coach him. I agreed. I ended up loving it. My first client saw measurable results in his life and business, and I was passionate about helping others as their coach. At just 26, the odds of me succeeding as a professional coach were probably slim to none. But it's so in line with my purpose in life, I went for it anyway. My coaching business took off, and I went on to coach hundreds of entrepreneurs, salespeople, and business owners. Shortly after, I gave my first paid speech when I was hired by the Boys and Girls Club of America to be the featured keynote speaker at their national conference. Although I'd been speaking to large business audiences, made up of primarily salespeople and managers since 1998, with my spiky hair, somewhat youthful appearance, and nickname, Yo Pal Hal, impacting young people was the way to go. I started speaking and sharing my story at local high schools and colleges. 2007, the year my life fell apart. The United States economy crashed. Overnight, my income was cut in half. My clients couldn't afford coaching. I couldn't pay my bills, including my house payment. I was $425,000 in debt and devastated. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially. I hit rock bottom. Never in my life have I felt so hopeless, overwhelmed, and depressed. At a loss for how to fix my life yet again, I desperately sought answers to insurmountable problems. I read self-help books, attended seminars, even hired a coach, but nothing worked. 2008. The year my life began to turn around. I finally confessed to a close friend how bad things had gotten, which I had successfully kept a secret up until this point. His question, "Are you exercising?" My answer, "I can barely get out of bed in the morning, so no." "Start running," he said. "It'll help you feel better and think clearer." Ugh, I hate running. I was desperate, though. So I took his advice and went for a run. The realizations I had on this run became a turning point in my life. Details in Chapter 2, The Miracle Morning Origin, Born Out of Desperation. And I had the inspiration to create a daily personal development routine that I hoped would enable me to develop into the person I needed to be to solve my problems and turn my life around. Incredibly, it worked. Virtually every area of my life transformed so fast, I called it my miracle morning. Fall 2008. I continued developing my miracle morning, experimenting with various personal development practices and sleep schedules, and researching how much sleep we really need. My findings completely shattered the paradigms and perceptions held true by most people, including me. Loving the results, I shared it with my coaching clients who loved it just as much. They told their friends, family, and coworkers about it. Unexpectedly, I began seeing people I'd never met posting on Facebook and Twitter about their miracle mornings. More on that later. 2009, my best year yet. I married the woman of my dreams. We got pregnant and gave birth to our daughter. Can I say we, or is that more of a she thing? My coaching business was thriving. I had a waiting list for clients. My speaking career took off. I was giving talks and keynote messages at high schools, colleges, and corporate and nonprofit conferences. The miracle morning spread like wildfire. I got emails every day from people telling me it was changing their life. I knew it was my responsibility to share it with the world, and that writing a book was the best way to do that. Slowly, I began to write again. Make no mistake, I'm still no writer, but I am committed. As my good friend Ramacio Fulcher always says, there is always a way when you're committed. Taking your life head on. I share my story with you to offer evidence of what can be overcome and achieved, no matter how difficult your challenges are. If I could go from being found dead, told I would never walk again, going broke, and feeling so depressed that I didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, to creating the life of my dreams, there are no legitimate excuses for you not to overcome any limitations that have held you back from achieving everything you want for your life. None. Zip. Nada. I believe it is crucial for us to embrace the perspective that anything another person has overcome or accomplished is simply evidence that anything, and I mean anything, you need to overcome or want to accomplish is possible for you, no matter what your past or current circumstances. It begins with accepting total responsibility for every aspect of your life and refusing to blame anyone else. The degree to which you accept responsibility for everything in your life is precisely the degree of personal power you have to change or create anything in your life. It is important to understand that responsibility is not the same as blame. While blame determines who is at fault for something, responsibility determines who is committed to improving things. Thinking back to my accident, while I wasn't at fault for the crash, I was responsible for improving my life, for making my circumstances what I wanted them to be. It really doesn't matter who is at fault. All that matters is that you and I are committed to leaving the past in the past and making our lives exactly the way we want them to be, starting today. It's your time. This is your story. Know that wherever you are in your life right now is both temporary and exactly where you are supposed to be. You have arrived at this moment to learn what you must learn so you can become the person you need to be to create the life you truly want, even when life is difficult or challenging. Especially when life is difficult and challenging. The present is always an opportunity for us to learn, grow, and become better than we've ever been before. You are in the process of writing your life story, and no good story is without a hero or heroine overcoming their fair share of challenges. In fact, the bigger the challenges, the better the story. Since there are no restrictions and no limits to where your story goes from here, what do you want the next page to say? The good news is that you have the ability to change or create anything in your life, starting right now. I'm not saying you won't have to work for it, but you can quickly and easily attract and create anything you want for your life by developing into the person who is capable of doing so. That's what this book is about. Helping you become the person you need to be to create everything you have ever wanted for your life. There are no limits. Grab a pen. Before you read any further, please grab a pen or pencil so you can write in this book. As you read, mark anything that stands out, which you may want to come back to later. Underline, circle, highlight, fold the corners of pages, and take notes in the margins so you can come back and quickly recall the most important lessons, ideas, and strategies. Personally, I used to struggle with this because I'm a bit of an obsessive, compulsive perfectionist and anal about keeping my things looking clean and neat. Then I realized that I needed to get over it, because the purpose of a book like this is not for it to remain untouched, but rather to maximize the value we extract from it. Now, I mark up all of my books so I can revisit them anytime and quickly recapture all of the key benefits without having to read the entire book again. Okay, with your pen in hand, let's get started. The next chapter of your life is about to begin. Chapter 1. It's time to wake up to your full potential. Life's too short is repeated often enough to be a cliche, but this time it's true. You don't have enough time to be both unhappy and mediocre. It's not just pointless, it's painful. Seth Godin. You've got to wake up every morning with determination if you're going to go to bed with satisfaction. George Lorimer. Why is it that when a baby is born, we often refer to them as the miracle of life, but then go on to accept mediocrity for our own lives? Where along the way do we lose sight of the miracle that we are living? When we were born, everyone assured us that we could do, have, and be anything we wanted when we grew up. So now that you've grown up, are you doing, having, and being anything and everything you've ever wanted? Or somewhere along the way, did you redefine anything and everything to include settling for less than you truly want? I recently read an alarming statistic. The average American is 20 pounds overweight, $10,000 in debt, slightly depressed, dislikes his or her job, and is less than one close friend. Even if only a fraction of this statistic is true, Americans need some serious waking up. What about you? Are you maximizing your potential and creating the levels of success that you truly want in every area of your life? Or are there areas of your life where you're settling for less than you really want? Are you settling for less than you're capable of and then justifying that it's okay? Or are you ready to stop settling so you can start living your best life? You know, the life of your dreams. Creating your level 10 life. One of my favorite sentiments ever shared by Oprah was when she said, "The biggest adventure you can ever take is to live the life of your dreams." I couldn't agree more. Sadly, so few people ever come close to living the life of their dreams that the phrase itself has become cliché. Most people resign themselves to a life of mediocrity, passively accepting whatever life gives them. Even people who are highly successful in one area, such as business, tend to settle for mediocrity in another area, such as their health or relationships. As best-selling author Seth Godin has so eloquently put it, is there a difference between average and mediocre? Not so much. There is nothing that says you have to settle for less than you truly want, just because everybody else does. You can become one of the few people that actually live the extraordinary life all of us deserve. Happiness, health, money, freedom, success, love, you really can have it all. If we're measuring success, satisfaction, and fulfillment in any area of our lives on a scale of 1 to 10, we all want level 10, right? I've never met anyone who said, "Nah, I just want level 7 health. I don't want to be too healthy and have too much energy." Or, "You know, I'm really okay with a level 5 relationship. I like fighting with my significant other, enjoy not having my needs met, and don't want us to be too happy." What if I told you that creating your best life, your level 10 life, and taking your levels of success, happiness, health, and financial prosperity beyond what you have ever experienced before is not only possible, it's simple. What if I told you that it all starts with how you wake up in the morning, and that there are small, simple steps you can start taking today that will enable you to become the person you need to be to create the levels of success you truly want and deserve in every area of your life? Would you get excited? Would you even believe me? Some won't. People have been jaded. They've tried everything under the sun to fix their lives, their relationships, and they're still not where they want to be. I understand. I've been there. Then, over time, I learned a few things that changed everything. I'm offering you my hand and inviting you to the other side, the side where life is not only good, it's extraordinary in a way we have only imagined it could be. This book builds three imperative arguments. You are just as worthy, deserving, and capable of creating and sustaining extraordinary health, wealth, happiness, love, and success in your life as any other person on earth. It is absolutely crucial, not only for the quality of your life, but for the impact you make on your family, friends, clients, co-workers, children, community, and anyone whose life you touch, that you start living in alignment with that truth. In order for you to stop settling for less than you deserve in any area of your life, and to create the levels of personal, professional, and financial success you desire, you must first dedicate time each day to becoming the person you need to be, one who is qualified and capable of consistently attracting, creating, and sustaining the levels of success you want. How you wake up each day and your morning routine, or lack thereof, dramatically affects your levels of success in every single area of your life. Focused, productive, successful mornings generate focused, productive, successful days, which inevitably create a successful life, in the same way that unfocused, unproductive, and mediocre mornings generate unfocused, unproductive, and mediocre days, and ultimately, a mediocre quality of life. By simply changing the way you wake up in the morning, you can transform any area of your life faster than you ever thought possible. But Hal, I'm not a morning person. What if you've already tried waking up earlier and it hasn't worked? I'm not a morning person, you say. I'm a night owl. There's not enough time in the day. Besides, I need more sleep, not less. That was all true for me too, before the miracle morning. Regardless of your past experiences, even if you've had trouble waking up and getting going in the morning for your entire life, things are about to change. The miracle morning works for everyone's lifestyle. I'll break it down in Chapter 8, Customizing the Miracle Morning to Fit Your Lifestyle and Achieve Your Highest Goals and Dreams. And you're going to be blown away by how much more energy, motivation, and time you're going to have. With increased productivity, significantly less stress, improved health, and way more vitality and joy. I know this because thousands of people around the world have already transformed their lives using the Miracle Morning. The ripple effects I've experienced in my life and observed from countless Miracle Morning enthusiasts are jaw-dropping. These newbie early risers, from entrepreneurs, salespeople, and CEOs, to stay-at-home moms, high school and college students, and everyone in between, are so excited about the profound, positive changes they've experienced that many are even posting videos about their results on YouTube, and then sharing them with their friends on Facebook and Twitter. How will the Miracle Morning transform your life? I've received hundreds of emails and messages from people about how the Miracle Morning has completely changed their life. For some, it has allowed them to tap into a deeper sense of purpose and meaning in their lives. For others, it's meant increased productivity, less stress, greater happiness, and increased income. For most, it's given them more purposeful, priceless time to pursue their dreams and the projects they've been putting off for far too long. Just read a few of the success stories in the opening pages of this book, and you will see the profound effects. You will see real-life results such as My life is changing so fast, I can't keep up. My business was struggling, but after I started the Miracle Morning, I was amazed at how, just by working on myself every day, I was able to turn it all around. And I'm on day 79 of the Miracle Morning and haven't missed a single day. This is the first time I've ever set out to do something and actually stuck with it longer than a few days or weeks, even. Since starting the Miracle Morning 10 months ago, my income has more than doubled, and I am in the best shape of my life. And one of my favorites, I have already lost 25 pounds using the Miracle Morning. Increased income, improved quality of life, more discipline, less stress, and even weight loss. It's all here. I'm blown away by it, frankly, and humbled to be the lucky guy to have stumbled onto something that can so quickly and profoundly transform every area of your life. It doesn't matter if, until now, you've settled for less than you envisioned for any aspect of your life. Even if you've struggled in certain areas, I believe you're ready for a profound shift, a breakthrough to the next level, or you wouldn't be here. In the next chapter, I'm going to walk you through how I use the Miracle Morning to transform my entire life, starting from my lowest point, a failing business, buried in $425,000 of personal debt, deeply depressed, and physically in the worst shape of my life, to building multiple successful businesses, paying off 100% of my debt, more than doubling my income, and achieving my dreams of becoming an international keynote speaker, having my story featured in the best-selling Chicken Soup for the Soul book series, being interviewed on radio and TV shows across the country, and performing at my mental and physical peak by completing a 52-mile ultramarathon, all in less than 12 months. You'll also discover some not-so-obvious secrets that will make your success virtually guaranteed. The Miracle Morning is not only empowering, it's simple and fun, something you'll soon be able to do without effort for the rest of your life. And while you can still sleep in anytime you want, you might be surprised to find you no longer want to. I can't tell you how many people have told me that they now wake up early, even on the weekends, simply because they feel better and get more done when they do. Imagine that. Time and time again, practitioners of the Miracle Morning compare waking up every day to the feeling they had as a kid waking up on Christmas morning. It feels that good. Imagine how great it will be to start every day like that. Here are a few of the most common yet profound benefits you can expect to gain from the Miracle Morning. Wake up every day with more energy, feeling excited and empowered with the tools to fulfill your potential. Immediately lower your stress levels. Quickly overcome any challenges, adversity, or limiting beliefs that have been holding you back. Improve your overall health. Lose weight, if desired, and get in the best physical shape of your life. Increase your productivity and enhance your ability to maintain laser focus on your top priorities. Experience more gratitude and less worry. Significantly increase your ability to earn and attract more monetary wealth, if desired. Uncover and begin living your life purpose. Stop settling for less than you truly desire and deserve in any area of your life, and start living in alignment with your vision for the most extraordinary life you can imagine. I know these are bold claims to make, and this list of benefits might even sound like a bit of overpromising. A little too good to be true, right? I assure you, there is no hyperbole here. The Miracle Morning will give you purposeful blocks of intentional, focused, and uninterrupted time each day to invest in achieving your most important goals and dreams, especially those you've been putting off. You can improve any area of your life. You'll be blown away by how quickly you see results and make progress towards your highest wants and aspirations. Don't be surprised when your friends, family, and coworkers begin to notice your positive transformation and are suddenly more drawn to you. I'm also going to give you the Lifesavers, six powerful practices which combine to make up the Miracle Morning and are guaranteed to save you from missing out on the extraordinary life you deserve to live, the one which, statistically, 95% of our society will sadly never experience. With your help, I believe we can change that statistic. Finally, you'll be ready to embark on the Miracle Morning 30-Day Life Transformation Challenge, which will develop the mindset and cement the habits you'll need to easily and continuously attract, create, and sustain the levels of success you desire and deserve in every area of your life. Never forget that who you are becoming is the single most important determining factor in your quality of life, now and for your future. Whether you consider yourself to be a morning person or not, you're going to learn how to make waking up every day easy, and you will begin forming habits of waking up with more energy and motivation than you've ever had before. By taking advantage of the undeniable relationship between success and early rising, you'll find that how you spend the first hour of your day becomes the key to unlocking your full potential and creating the levels of success you desire. You'll quickly see that when you change the way you wake up in the morning, you change your entire life. Chapter 2. The Miracle Morning Origin, Born Out of Desperation. Desperation is the raw material of drastic change. Only those who can leave behind everything they have ever believed in can hope to escape. William S. Burroughs. To make profound changes in your life, you need either inspiration or desperation. Anthony Robbins. I've been fortunate to hit what you might call rock bottom twice in my relatively short life. I say fortunate because it was the growth I experienced and the lessons I learned during the most challenging times of my life that have enabled me to become the person I've needed to be to create the life that I've always wanted. I am grateful to use not only my successes, but also my failures, to help others in a way that can empower them to overcome their own limitations and achieve more than they ever thought possible. My first rock bottom, dead at the scene. As you know, my first rock bottom was almost my last, when at age 20, I was hit head-on by a drunk driver and died at the scene of the accident. I wrote in detail about how I bounced back from my seemingly insurmountable adversity, as well as the 8 lessons I learned that will immediately improve the quality of your life in my first book, Taking Life Head-On, How to Love the Life You Have While You Create the Life of Your Dreams. My second rock bottom, deep in debt and deeply depressed. My second plunge into the depths of despair was more difficult than dying in a car accident was. It was 2008. The United States economy was in the midst of the worst recession since the infamous Great Depression of the 1930s. In the years after surviving my car accident, despite bouncing back to build a Hall of Fame sales career, launch a 6-figure success coaching business, and write a best-selling book, I was again challenged. This time, it was a complete mental, emotional, and financial breakdown. Seemingly overnight, the successful enterprises I had built were no longer profitable. Over half of my monthly income disappeared. I was suddenly unable to pay my bills. I had just bought my first home. I was engaged to be married, and we were planning our first child. Buried in debt, behind in my mortgage, for the first time in my life, I became severely depressed. I was at the lowest point in my life. Could things have been worse? Probably. But was this the worst they had ever been for me? Absolutely. I had hit my rock bottom. Why debt was worse than death? If you were to ask me which was more difficult, my car accident or my financial struggles, I wouldn't hesitate to tell you it was the latter by far. Most people would assume that being hit head-on by a drunk driver, breaking 11 bones, suffering permanent brain damage, dying for 6 minutes, and waking from a coma to face the news that you may never walk again would be hard to top. It's a fair assumption that the physical, mental, and emotional pain from such a horrific wreck would be the lowest point in any person's life. However, this wasn't the case for me. You see, after my car accident, I had people taking care of me. In the hospital, my family never left my side. I was constantly surrounded by visitors. Friends and family coming by daily to check on me and shower me with love and support. I had an incredible staff of doctors and nurses overseeing every step of my care and recovery. My food was prepared and delivered to me. I didn't even have the everyday stresses of having to work and pay the bills. Life in the hospital was easy. That wasn't the case the second time around. Nobody felt sorry for me. I didn't have any visitors. There was no one there to oversee my care and recovery. Nobody brought me any food. I was on my own this time. People had their own problems to deal with. A domino effect led to struggles in every area of my life. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. You name it, I was a mess. I had so much fear and uncertainty that the only comfort I found each day was my own bed. As pathetic as it may sound, what got me through each day was the peace of mind from knowing I could eventually crawl into bed and temporarily escape my problems. Thoughts of suicide circled my mind daily. Not that I would have ever actually followed through with it. Suicide is not only one of the most selfish decisions someone can make, as it hurts so many other people, but deep down, I knew that no matter how bad life gets, there is always a way to turn it around. But the thoughts were still there. I just didn't see a solution to my financial crisis. I couldn't think of anything else that would put an end to my emotional pain. The morning that turned my life around. Then, in a single morning, everything changed. I woke up feeling depressed, as I had been for weeks. But this morning, I did something different. I took a friend's advice and went on a run to clear my head. Now, make no mistake, I was not a runner. In fact, running for the sake of running was one of the only things I can honestly say that I despised. However, my good friend John told me that whenever he was feeling stressed or overwhelmed, going for a run enabled him to think more clearly, lifted his spirits, and helped him come up with solutions to his problems. I was desperate. I had nothing to lose. I was going to go for a run. So that morning, I laced up my Nike Air Jordan basketball shoes. I told you I wasn't a runner. Grabbed my iPod so I could listen to something positive, and headed out the front door of my soon-to-be bank-owned home. I had no idea that, on that run, I would have one of the most powerful, profound, life-changing breakthroughs in my entire life. Listening to a personal development audio from Jim Rohn, he said something that although I had heard before, I never really got it. You know how sometimes you hear something over and over again without actually implementing it, but then one day it finally clicks for you? It just takes you being in the right state of mind to really get it. Well, that morning, I was in the right state of mind, a state of desperation, and I got it. When I heard Jim proclaim with certainty, "Your level of success will rarely exceed your level of personal development, because success is something you attract by the person you become," I stopped in my tracks. This one philosophy was going to change my entire life. The success parallel. All of a sudden, it hit me. It was like a tidal wave of reality that came crashing down. And I became present to the fact that I had not been developing myself into the person I needed to be to attract, create, and sustain the level of success that I wanted. On a scale of 1 to 10, I wanted level 10 success, but my level of personal development was at about a 2, maybe a 3 or 4 on a good day. I realized this is the problem for all of us. We all want level 10 success in every area of our lives. Health, happiness, finances, relationships, career, spirituality, you name it. But if our levels of personal development, knowledge, experience, mindset, beliefs, etc., in any given area are not at a level 10, then life is always going to be a struggle. Our outer world will always be a reflection of our inner world. Our level of success is always going to parallel our level of personal development. Until we dedicate time each day to developing ourselves into the person we need to be to create the life we want, success is always going to be a struggle to attain. I ran straight home. I was ready to change my life. Our first challenge, finding time. I knew that the solution to all of my problems was that I had to commit to making personal development a priority in my daily life. This was the missing link that would enable me to become the person I needed to be, to be able to consistently attract, create, and sustain the levels of success that I wanted. Simple enough. However, my main challenge was the same as anyone's, finding time. I was so busy just trying to survive my life and pay my bills that the idea of finding extra time for my personal development seemed almost impossible. Maybe you can relate. I love what best-selling author Matthew Kelly says. On the one hand, we all want to be happy. On the other hand, we all know the things that make us happy, but we don't do those things. Why? Simple. We are too busy. Too busy doing what? Too busy trying to be happy. So I grabbed my planner, sat down on my couch, and committed to finding time. Making time for my daily personal development. I considered the options. Maybe the evening. My first thought was that maybe I could make time in the evenings, after work or maybe late at night, after my fiancé goes to bed. But then I realized that the evening was really the only time I had to spend with her during the day. Not to mention that late at night is rarely when I'm at my best. I'm usually so tired that focusing is even more of a challenge than it usually is. In fact, I'm hardly coherent, let alone in an optimum state of mind for personal development. Evening was not going to be the optimum time. Possibly the afternoon? Maybe I could schedule it in the middle of the day, possibly on my lunch break or somewhere in between. I could just find some extra time. Well, that extra time just doesn't show up and the day usually gets away from us. Oh, come on. Not in the morning. Then I considered doing it in the morning, but I resisted. To say that I was not a morning person was a gross understatement. The fact was, I dreaded getting up in the morning, particularly waking up early, almost as much as I hated running. But the more I thought about it, the more a few things started to make sense. First, by committing to my personal development in the morning, it would give me a positive motivational kickstart to my day. I could learn something new in the morning. I'd likely be more energized, more focused, and more motivated for the rest of my day. I remembered a blog post that I read on stevepavlina.com titled Rudder of the Day. Steve, also the author of Personal Development for Smart People, stated, "It's been said that the first hour is the rudder of the day. If I'm lazy or haphazard in my actions during the first hour after I wake up, I tend to have a fairly lazy and unfocused day. But if I strive to make the first hour optimally productive, the rest of the day tends to follow suit." Not to mention, by doing personal development in the morning, I wouldn't have all of the excuses that accumulate during the day. I'm tired. I don't have time, etc. If I did it in the morning, before the rest of my life and my work got in the way, I could guarantee that it happened every single day. Finally, I just didn't really see any better time to do it. Executing my personal development first thing in the morning was looking to be the most advantageous option. But it was already hard enough to drag myself out of bed every day at 6 a.m. because I had to. So the idea of getting up at 5 a.m. seemed absolutely insane to me. Feeling frustrated and a bit defeated, I was about to close my planner and forget the whole idea, when I heard the voice of my mentor, Kevin Bracey, in my head. Kevin always told me, "Hal, if you want your life to be different, you have to be willing to do something different first." Damn it. I knew Kevin was right. But that didn't make waking up early any easier. Committed to making a change, I decided to overcome my self-imposed, lifelong limiting belief that I was not a morning person, and wrote into my schedule that I would wake up at 5 a.m. the next morning to do my first personal development routine. Our second challenge, doing what's most impactful. Then I encountered another challenge. What was I going to do for that hour that was going to make the biggest impact and improve my life the fastest? I could read. But I'd done that before, and I wanted this to be special. I could exercise, but again, that wasn't getting my juices flowing. So I pulled out a piece of blank paper, and I wrote down all of the most life-changing personal development practices that I had learned over the years, but never implemented. At least never consistently. Activities like meditation, affirmations, journaling, visualization, as well as reading and exercise. I chose the 6 activities that I thought would have the most immediate and dramatic impact on my life, assigned 10 minutes each, and planned to try all 6 the next morning. The interesting thing was, looking at this list got me feeling motivated. All of a sudden, the idea of waking up early went from something I dreaded to something more and more appealing. That night, I could hardly fall asleep. I was so excited for the morning to come. When the alarm clock went off at 5 a.m., my eyes shot wide open, and I sprung out of bed, feeling energized and excited. It was effortless. It was invigorating, and it reminded me of being a kid, waking up on Christmas morning. There had been no time in my life when waking up was easier, when I felt more energized and excited about my day than I did as a kid on Christmas. Until today. The morning that transformed my entire life. Teeth brushed, face washed, and a glass of water in hand, I sat up straight on my living room couch at 5:05 a.m., feeling genuinely excited about my life for the first time in a long time. It was still dark outside, and something about that felt very empowering. I pulled out my list of life-changing personal development activities I had learned over the years but never implemented. One by one, I implemented each one. Silence. Sitting in silence, praying, meditating, and focusing on my breath for 10 minutes, I felt my stress melt away, felt a sense of calm come over my body and ease my mind. This was different from the typical chaos of my hectic mornings. For the first time in a long time, I felt peaceful. Reading. Having always made excuses why I couldn't find time to read, I was excited to make time this morning and start what I'd always hoped could become a lifelong habit. I grabbed Napoleon Hill's classic, Think and Grow Rich, off the shelf. Like most of my books, it was the one that I had started but never finished. I read for 10 minutes and picked up a few ideas that I was excited to implement that day. I was reminded that it only takes one idea to change your life, and I felt motivated. Affirmations. Having never before harnessed the power of affirmations, it felt amazing to finally read the self-confidence affirmation from Think and Grow Rich aloud. The affirmation was a powerful reminder of the unlimited potential that was within me, and within each of us. I decided to write my own affirmation. I jotted down what I wanted, who I was committed to being, and what I was committed to doing to change my life. I felt empowered. Visualization. I grabbed the vision board off my wall. I had created it after watching the movie The Secret. I rarely took time to look at, let alone use it as the visualization tool it was intended to be. For 10 minutes, my focus shifted from image to image, pausing at each one to close my eyes and feel, with every fiber of my being, what it would be like to manifest each into my life. I felt inspired. Journaling. Next, I opened one of the many blank journals I had purchased over the years. Like all the others, I had failed to write in for more than a few days, a week at the most. On this day, I wrote what I was grateful for in my life. Almost immediately, I felt my depression lifting like a heavy fog which had been weighing me down. It wasn't gone, but it felt lighter. The simple act of writing down the things I was grateful for lifted my spirits. I felt grateful. Exercise. Finally, I got up off the couch, remembering what I'd heard Tony Robbins say so many times. Motion creates emotion. I dropped down and did push-ups until I couldn't do one more. Then I flipped over onto my back and did as many sit-ups as my out-of-shape abs would allow. With 6 minutes left on the clock, I inserted one of my fiancé's yoga videos into the DVD player and enjoyed completing the first 6 minutes of it. I felt energized. It was incredible.